Baltic's home to Europe and Far East. The flag is carried by our ships in times of war and peace. And never have we struck it yet in spite of foemen's mind, who cheered our crews and cheered again for showing how to fight. So here's the Coast Guard marching song. We sing on land or sea, crews serve as foremen, howling gale high shall our purpose be. Semper Paratus is our guide, our fame, our glory too, to fight, to save or fight and die. Aye, Coast Guard, we are for you.
Good afternoon. This is your Captain Joe up in the captain's chair for our weekly visit together with me up in the chair and you gathered around the crystal set to listen to my pontifications for this week. Before I get into the bulk and to the substance of my broadcast, I have to acknowledge that some of last week's broadcast did not record properly. And so if you went to listen to me, as many of you do, from the archive, which is usually up in the evening of the day of the broadcast or at the latest the next day, you were able to hear only the forward half, the bow half of my broadcast, and the stern half, about 15 or 18 minutes of it, got cut off and cannot be recovered. So if I remember what it was that I said, I will repeat some of that. But in any case, my greetings go out all over the world to all of Captain Joe's people, and in particular to new listeners, because I know that we have some. I know that we have some in Lake Chelan, Washington. I know that we have some in Lothian, Maryland. And I would not be at all surprised if we have some in the Coast Guard cutter Polar Star, who is now down in Antarctica and should be coming home pretty soon after having accomplished the annual deep freeze mission. The Binnacle List is a mixed report today. First, all my I've received reports of people who have had, if not dramatic, at least a significant improvement in their particular reason for being on the Binnacle List. One of them is one of my most loyal listeners on the Coast Guard Channel, who I refer to as Alert Emeritus. And I call him Alert Emeritus because commanding officers, captains of Coast Guard ships, are known by the name of their ship. And he was captain of the Coast Guard cutter Alert. He is now honorably retired from the Coast Guard, and he was having, both he and his lovely wife, were having a really serious and difficult time. And the report that came to me this morning was that of some significant improvement. On the other hand, one of the joys and treasures of my particular life is that several of my daughters have had friends who would come to our home, and they became my friends, and they remain my friends today. They are married, and of course, in their own right, they have their own children. They have their own grandchildren, for God's sakes, and isn't that a kick in the butt? So but one of them, Annie, is now, she took a really bad fall and had to have almost immediately a hip replaced. And so all of you in particular who are Captain Joe's people who are on the Binnacle List with things like hip and knee replacements and all of the things that go with that, all of the therapy that goes after that, know that all of you are in the palm of my hand. And it is my wish and my hope and my command that you will follow all of the instructions of your medical providers so that you'll get off of the Binnacle List just as quickly as possible. I'm going to go right to the magazine, which is not really a magazine this week, but it is a newspaper. And it is, in fact, the Vashon Maury Island Beachcomber. And the paper comes once a week. It used to be delivered by devoted and dedicated carriers, but because of the COVID virus, they had to eliminate the business of bringing them to your beachcomber box, your beachcomber sleeve, where your mailbox also was. Now they come to you by post. And because we've got some challenges with the postal service here on the island, sometimes the beachcomber doesn't come until a little bit later, and I suppose sometimes it doesn't come at all. In any case, this is the one that came to me in my post box last week, and it has several articles right on the very front page that I'm going to use as not only my magazine for this week, but also for some items of interest to me, and thus I'm absolutely certain of interest to you. So the first one, the headline is Spawning Sea-Run Cutthroat Trout Spotted on Vashon. And this one's interesting to me because the person who discovered this was Dr. Bianca Perla. And Dr. Perla is the head of the Vashon Nation's Nature Center, one of my favorite island institutions, and one which is going to be a big part of the upcoming low tide celebration. And so Bianca was walking along the creek, and I'm quoting now from the article. She had found her calm center amid the holiday bustle as she looked for fish. I saw a fin above the water, and at first I thought a coho made it up this far because the water wasn't too deep. But when I got closer, I could see there were two fish kind of bumping against each other. Then one of them darted off into a clear pool to the side, and I could see spots all over it. So I'm not going to read any more of it because I've got a lot of other things that I want to and am going to get to this afternoon. But the thrust of this particular story is that these were very large fish, and Bianca's excitement was almost unmitigated for the time that she saw all of this, because we do not get usually cutthroat of this size up into the creeks on the island. So we are seeing all of this as a good omen, as a metaphor for the approach of spring, and for something that gave my friend Dr. Perla a really good feeling, and I am all in favor of that. The next one was Local Actors Beckon, Attend the Tale of Sweeney Todd. Sweeney Todd, of course, is the musical play which is being produced here by my friend Charlotte, who has been on this program several times, by the Vashon Repertory Theater. If you live on the magical isle of Vashon, or you are within striking distance and you have not yet seen Sweeney Todd, go on to Vashon Center for the Arts. That's all one word, Vashon Center, and it's spelled C-E-N-T-E-R, not the British spelling, C-E-N-T-R-E. Vashon Center for the Arts, all one word, all lowercase, .org. And they'll give you lots more information, including how you can buy the tickets. So I believe that this coming last weekend is going to be the last performance of Sweeney Todd. The third thing that was right on the front page, and once again, it brings us to the Vashon Nature Center. It's the headline is Learn About Lichen. Now, lichen are little tiny plants. And so I marked this one in case any of you do not know anything about lichen and you want to, that you can go to the forest trailhead for the Island Center Forest at 10612 Southwest 188th Street. Actually, you don't have to remember that. You can go onto any map of the island, and it will show you where Island Center Forest is. And sign up. You can join Hannah, naturalist Hannah Morosoff, and learn about lichen. I bring this one up because when I was doing my student year at the Scott Polar Research Institute, where I later managed the construction of the Shackleton Memorial Library. One of the seminars was by, no doubt, the world's leading expert on Antarctic lichen. The only plants that grow on Antarctica are these lichen. And I'm not discouraging you from going to listen to Hannah talk about island lichen. All I have to say about that is that you can exhaust the possibilities of my personal interest in lichen very, very quickly. And so, although I'm encouraging you to go, should you not know anything about lichen, I am going to pass on that particular event. But I bring it up so just in case you would like to do it. So that's my report for the magazine, which is really the newspaper. The Beachcomber comes out once a week. You can also read it online if you're interested in what's going on the magical Isle of Vashon. And the book, I am taking us once again back to the book from last week, which is titled Madhouse at the End of the Earth. And I'm doing this because I've gotten deeper into it, and I am at the part where Belgica has come into the area of the Antarctic Peninsula. And she is in the book right now. She is sailing very, very close to the location of the Wubold Glacier. Go on to Google Earth, type in Wubold Glacier, and you will be able to see the Wubold Glacier, and you'll see that it is doing really, really well. It is not melting. It's not going away. Nor is your Captain Joe melting nor going away. In fact, I am going to be up in the captain's chair. I intend to be up in the captain's chair for quite a bit longer. So there's one interesting little aspect of this. Dr. Frederick Cook, who had been with Perry, was the ship's physician in Belgica. And the so here's a very quick quote to get you interested in reading the book. Cruising through canyons of ice, Cook was struck by how much more dramatic this land was than what he'd seen of the Arctic. The expedition's designated photographer, he set his tripod on the deck and pointed the lens at every new marvel. Cook's photographs were likely the first ever taken of Antarctica. And of course, we all know the photographs that were taken of Endurance, especially the dramatic photographs that were taken in the austral night in the winter when she was breaking up and when she was getting ready to sink. So the fact that Cook's photographs probably were the first ever taken of Antarctica just makes me even more interested in Cook, and I'm going to do some more reading about him. Dr. Frederick Cook, medical doctor, MD, and was the physician for Belgica, and of course was also with Perry in the Arctic. I am a member of the Council of American Master Mariners, and they do not allow you to become a life member. I would have been happy to do that and thus not get the annual dues notice, but I was struck by a pair of messages that I got, which I pass on to you. If you belong to an organization which has annual dues rather than allowing you to become a life member, which is the case for the Council of American Master Mariners, then you get an annual dues notice, and you are expected to send in your dues each year. So the Council of American Mariners tried to sweeten the thing by two messages. The first one was, Captain, you are. It is time for you to pay your 2023 dues. And then the second one, which I pass on to you, is the second message was, and it came right after the dues that they were bore-assing me for dues. The second one came, and Captain, best wishes for a spectacular 2023. I have now paid my dues to the Council of American Master Mariners, And I am indeed having a, well, I can't, maybe not spectacular. That implies that nothing untoward is going to happen and only good things are going to happen. And, of course, life does not work just like that. In a previous broadcast, I mentioned the fact that in the fiscal year 2023 Coast Guard budget, there is a line item to purchase a commercially available polar icebreaker. And I didn't have any time to comment or reflect on that further, but I do here. There is no such thing as a commercially available polar icebreaker. We don't build them in this country. The closest we come are some of the oil rig supply vessels that carry a very high ice class under the International Maritime Organization ice classification system, or one of the other ice classification systems. But we do not build commercially available polar icebreakers, which leads me to wonder, are we going to buy one from Russia or lease it? Are we going to buy one from the Finns or the Swedes? Or must it be an American construction? The ones that the Russians build, the very powerful ones that the Russians build for the North Sea route, are nuclear-powered. The ones that the Finns and the Swedes build are intended primarily for the Baltic, which is both a lower salinity body of water and also a shallower body of water. And the ice does not get nearly as thick as it does in the Antarctic. I don't care how they try to paper all of this over. The fact that we are in the bind in which we now find ourselves with just Polar Star and Healy. Healy, bless her heart. That's the ship of whom I am her sea daddy. And those are it for us right now. And it turns out that the shipyard, which has the contract to build the first of the new very large polar icebreakers, has now been bought by another company, which has built a number of vessels for the Coast Guard, and that particular yard still has not done, and so far as I know, no steel has yet been cut for that particular vessel. If it has, then I am depending on somebody who is involved with that particular shipyard to let me know. It is unconscionable that we have allowed this to happen, and it didn't have to happen like that. The tomorrow is Ash Wednesday in the Christian tradition, certainly in the RC Roman Catholic tradition, and probably High Church in the Anglican tradition. You'll see people going around tomorrow with little gray smudges on their forehead. And those smudges are from the ashes. And the ashes come from the palms that were left over from last year's Palm Sunday. They are burned, and the ashes are then used to put on the foreheads of Catholics and probably High Church Anglicans. And this is to remind us that we shall all return to ash or dust. And so that's where that comes from. If you are wondering why a friend of yours who is of the RC persuasion is walking around with this gray smudge on his forehead, that's what it is all about. I've had a request for a discussion of the term navigable waters of the U.S., This one is pretty convoluted. It goes back centuries, actually. It goes back to the beginning of the Republic. And I think that the way I'm going to do that, I don't think this is what I am going to do. I'm going to invite my friend and attorney in Admiralty, Bill West, to come on with me soon, and we will talk about navigable waters of the U.S. I know that all of you can hardly wait, and you will be sure to listen in for that particular program. Last week, I talked about the uniform that came to me from a friend who was sending me a uniform that had been worn by a sailor, a member of the Horse Patrol, Beast Patrol, during World War II. And I wrote some of this on a piece that I wrote for the Coast Guard Channel, which generated a discussion about the uniform which the Coast Guard wears today, the single-breasted blue uniform, which replaced the traditional naval uniform, the double-breasted uniform, which I started out wearing and which I wore all the way up until the new uniform was required. So it was called Bender Blues because the commandant of the Coast Guard who instigated this new uniform was Admiral Chester Bender. And so it became known and remains known today as Bender Blues, although many people have been in the service a short enough period of time that they never wore the wonderful traditional double-breasted naval uniform. So it was called Bender Blue, and there was a little jingle that went with it, and it went, Bender, 'tis Bender Blue, Bender Blue, Bender Blue for all. And we all had to wear it. So I have I went to work for a wonderful admiral. When I came back from Vietnam, I was sent to the, after I had been relieved as captain in Ingham, I went to the Armed Forces Staff College, and then after that I was assigned to the staff of Commander Pacific Area, and the Commander of Pacific Area at that time was a three-star by the name of Vice Admiral Mark Whalen. Admiral Whalen was one of the great gentlemen of our service, and I really loved working for him. I did a number of special projects for him, and those special projects always required that we get together in his quarters, which was in the old lightkeeper's house out at on Yerba Buena Island, which is on the other side of Treasure Island, which is halfway across the Bay Bridge in San Francisco. And so we would deal with whatever he would give me his instructions for, whatever, get my report and give me his instructions. And then we would just be two sailors telling stories. And one of these, at one of these sessions in his quarters, he told me that he did not like the uniform. It was in the transition period. He did not like the uniform and that he was not going to buy it because he was planning to retire before it became mandatory. And he said, but I want you to be sure that I am buried in the proper uniform. And I said, well, Admiral, I'm happy to do that, but I may not be around here or wherever it is that you cross the bar. And he said, well, I'm counting on you to make sure that this happens. And he had his wife come in, who was just an absolutely wonderful, lovely lady. And she sat down, and so the three of us discussed what the Admiral's instructions were for his burial, and that was to be buried in the traditional uniform. Well, not too long after that, Admiral Whalen retired, and then not too long after that, he died, and he crossed the bar. I heard about it while I was traveling, and I was not able to get to the funeral, and I was not able to fulfill my commission of making sure that he was buried in the proper uniform. But I called his wife and reminded her of my charge. And she said, well, you don't need to worry about it. The Admiral was indeed buried in the proper uniform. I really liked working for Admiral Whalen. He was one of those people that you would follow anywhere. I learned a lot from him almost every day of the 3 years that I worked for him. And I, for another time, a story for another time, he had a really terrible Irish temper. And I got downwind of that temper in one time, and I will tell that story at some time in the future. The Coast Guard has just put out an all coast. You all remember my feelings about the number of all coasts that go out. All Coast Guard, their messages, they go out by email now, and they are for all Coast Guard people. So there was an all coast that came out in my traffic yesterday, and it was soliciting people to be considered for the award of the Excellence in Living Marine Resources Enforcement Award. and it's named after Captain Quentin Walsh. And I thought, well, Captain Walsh, I knew him in another context. He, first of all, has the Navy Cross from World War II. He was the instrumental in putting together Rescue Flotilla 1, which is the Coast Guard organization that picked up the survivors from landing craft that got hit on D-Day on the 6th of June. And so I wondered why this overlong name of the award was also attached to Captain Walsh. And so I read further. I read the All Coast, and it turns out that back in the 1930s, Captain Walsh is a lieutenant junior grade. Yes, all of us were lieutenants junior grade at one time, even your captain. And when he was a lieutenant junior grade, he was one of the two people that were assigned as whaling inspectors on U.S. vessels to make sure that when the U.S. no longer was engaged in whaling, that in fact we did not do any whaling. And so that's why he has named after him the Excellence in Living Marine Resources Enforcement Award. And it is, I am sure that it's a prestigious award. The fact that it is named after Captain Quentin Walsh, Navy Cross, is gives it a great deal of validity in my heart and mind. I always close my remarks on the Coast Guard channel with the statement, if you ever have any doubts about calling me, call me. This was the last thing that I always wrote in every night order book that I ever wrote in all of the thousands of nights at sea. And it is one that is a pretty good thing for us to remember, that when the captain is up in the chair or when the captain is resting his eyes below, regardless of whether or not he is getting needed rest, captains are able to doze in the chair and rest up and be ready for hours and hours of further work. But I always wrote it that way so that my officers of the deck during the night, during the long watches of the night, would know that they had not only my permission, my encouragement, but my command, that if they had any doubts at all about whether I should be called in the middle of the night, that they should call me. And this was always in my night orders, in the night order book. One of the last ceremonies every night is the delivery of the night order book from the captain in the cabin, in the captain's cabin. A ship only has one cabin, by the way. A Coast Guard cutter only has one cabin, and that's the captain's cabin. The messenger of the watch comes down, is given the night order book by the captain. He carries it back up to the officer of the deck that's on watch, and each officer of the deck during that night and each quartermaster of the watch during the watches of the night are required to read the night orders and to initial them. So that's a little bit of nautical tradition, at least Captain Joe tradition. And getting back to the whales and Captain Walsh, one of the articles that came up in the most recent G-Captain is that whales, humpback whales in particular, have been washing up in the beaches of New Jersey with much greater regularity than what has been before. And the people who are against wind farms are tying the two together, that the construction of wind farms out off of the Jersey coast is causing disruption among the lives of these humpback whales, and more of them are dying about that. I don't know about that. I just bring it up as a matter of interest and concern for all of us, because we are working hard over the decades to bring all of the whales back, and to have them now dying for some reason in greater numbers along our shores is particularly distressing to me. And once again, and far too quickly, we've come to that 1300 hour, two bells of the afternoon watch. This is your Captain Joe. As always, I'm up in the captain's chair, and we never say goodbye. We say until we meet again. And I am, as always, once again, I am always on station and watching properly.